أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين يكفرون بآيات الله ويقتلون النبيين بغير حق ويقتلون الذين يأمرون بالقسط من الناس فبشرهم بعذاب أليم أولئك الذين حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم من ناصرين ألم تر إلى الذين أوتوا نصيبا من الكتاب يدعون إلى كتاب الله ليحكم بينهم ثم يتولى فريق منهم وهم معرضون ذلك بأنهم قالوا لن تمسنا النار إلا أياما معدودات وغرهم في دينهم ما كانوا يفترون فكيف إذا جمعناهم ليوم لا ريب فيه ووفيت كل نفس ما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون قل اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير تولج الليل في النهار وتولج النهار في الليل وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الحي من الميت وتخرج الميت من الحي وترزق من تشاء بغير حساب. Those who deny the words of Allah and in defiance of truth, they slay the Anbiya and they slay those who command mankind with justice, then announce to them a grievous punishment. Their deeds will be all rendered null and void in this life and the next, and they'll have none to assist them. It is reported in the hadith that the worst punishment will be meted out to that person who killed a Nabi. And thereafter, that person who kills one who enjoins the truth and forbids the evil. For the one that is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, he is the deputy of the Nabi. Hence, his punishment will be the second worst after the punishment that is meted out to that person who slays the Nabi. The Jews had killed 43 Anbiya in a single day. Then righteous people got up to correct them and to forbid them, to stop them from the wrong that they were practicing. Then before the end of that very day, they killed 170 righteous people. So Allah Ta'ala is explaining that this is worst punishment that can be meted out to anybody. The one who kills a Nabi, obviously the Nabi is like the representative of Allah Ta'ala in this earth. And then the righteous people are the representative of the Anbiya alayhim salam. So hence, this is the worst type of punishment that can be meted out to anybody. Further, their deeds, one who hates a Nabi and dislikes a Nabi or the teachings of a Nabi, then he can't be a Muslim. And when he can't be a Muslim, then all his deeds will be rendered null and void. Did you see those people who were given some portion of the book? They were invited to the book of Allah to decide between them. Then some of them turn away and decline and disregard. This is because they say that the fire will never touch us, but a few numbered day, and the very forgeries in their deen has deceived them. Then how will it fare with them when we gather them together on a day about which there is no doubt, and every soul will be paid just what it has earned, and none will be treated unjustly. The Jews once claimed that Ibrahim alayhi salam had followed Judaism. He was a Jew, na'uzu billah. So Rasulullah challenged them, said, all right, if that's the case, then produce your evidence through the Torah. Show me through the pages of the Torah that what you're claiming is true. And they declined, they refused to bring and present the Torah, knowing that their claim was totally false and unfounded. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about them, that how will they fare? Now they are getting away with lies, with forgery and deception. But on that day about which there is no doubt, every soul is paid for what it has earned, and none will be treated unjustly. Everything will come to the fore, and every person will be taken to account, called to account, and paid accordingly. قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ. Around the fourth year of the Hijrat was the war of the Ahzab, the allied forces. The Kuffar had seen that they were being defeated all the time at Uhud, at Badr. Now they joined up forces, the Jews, Christians, as well as the polytheists and mushriks, they all joined hands, and they felt that for once and for all, we should exterminate and wipe out Medina Munawwara altogether. Rasulullah heard about this, and he had instructed that a trench be dug around Medina Munawwara, and the Sahaba Ikram got to work immediately, and a huge trench was dug around Medina Munawwara. Sahaba Ikram labored very hard. In a few days, this trench was prepared. Sahaba Ikram had gone through hunger and a lot of difficulty they had gone through. Whilst digging the trench, they came to a rock, they came across a rock which they could not break. And Nabi Sallam was informed, immediately had come to the spot, picked up a pickaxe and crashed it. And the first time that he crashed it, a fire came out. And when he crashed it for the second time, again a fire came out. And the same happened the third time. Sahaba Ikram also noticed this light appearing. And when they inquired, Nabi Sallam explained, the first time I crashed and I saw the palaces of Persia. And the second time I crashed and I saw the palaces of Rome. And the third time I seen palaces of Yemen. And all this will come under the rule of my ummah. In the meanwhile, the munafiqeen had some words to say, and they began to poke fun at the believers. That here, you don't have sufficient things to eat for a small little army like this, and you people became very much uneasy, and then you are dreaming about Persia and Rome. So Allah Ta'ala teaches the believers that this is the dua that you will read. This will enhance your spirits and it will also attract the divine attention. Say, Allahumma Malik al-Mulk, O Allah, the sovereign of all kingdom. You grant kingdom to whomsoever you please, and you strip off kingdom whoever you please. And you grant honor to whomsoever you please, and you strip off honor whomsoever you please. In your hand is all good, and indeed you have the power over all things. You merge the night into the day, and the day into the night, and you bring out the living from the dead, and the dead from the living, and you provide sustenance to whomsoever you please without measure. Here we say, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ, that in your hand is all good. In respect to us, some things may not seem to be very, very acceptable and very easy, but overall, in the grand plan of Allah Ta'ala, everything is only good, there's nothing but good. The famous poet says, مَصَائِبُ قَوْمٍ إِنَّ قَوْمٍ فَوَائِدُ, that sometimes it happens that in your side this thing may be a problem, but in the overall grand plan, really it is a blessing. Like prisoners are apprehended and they are put into jail. So for them it seems to be a very miserable thing that we've been apprehended and thrown into jail. We're languishing in jail for such a period. But in the grand plan of humanity, this is the better thing. Because of these people being apprehended and put into jail, there's going to be peace and happiness prevailing all around. So overall, in the overall plan, this is the better thing. Though for the individual, it seemed a little bit difficult, it seemed painful, and he said, how could they have done something like this to me? But when you look at the grand plan, then this is better, the better thing for all humanity. So the same maxim and principle will apply to all situations, that sometimes for an individual, something may seem to be difficult, but when you look at it from a different perspective, you look at the grand plan, then this is better for all. So this dua is very effective also for paying out one's debts. Person who's in problems and difficulties, it's recommended that he recites these two verses, Allahumma malik al-mulk till watarzuqu man tashaa'u bighayri hisab, 7 times after every farz namaz, for all difficulties, payment of debts and problems. And this is a very effective dua. Give us dua.